Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now is live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Mr. Davis and I'm joined by lukewarm Luke Owen.
Hello, Swap Nation, and a hello to you, Mr. Davis, your big dick. How are you after mid-tabling on QuizzleMania last night?
I'm on a bit of a roll. Mid-table roll. Yeah, I came second in Cinemania. I came third? In the last QuizzleMania?
Yeah, and like, so did you go in third last night?
I came third last night as well. Hey,
dude, who was above you?
Sean Ross Sapp and the eventual winner, Tempest.
So, like, that's basically winning out of the rest, I would argue.
It's a normal person win. No, not a normal person. It's a normal wrestling fan win. Because I think I can beat most wrestling fans. I can't beat dedicated, stats-heavy, never-went-out-when-they-were-kids wrestling fans.
No. Nerds.
Like you.
Hey, man. I've realised, because I was editing the podcast version of QuizzleMania this morning. Obviously, I wasn't on last night's show. And I would have done okay in the championship scramble, which, by the way, was seamless. Was a seamless round that didn't have any hiccups whatsoever.
And he Adam just thought, hey, I'm going to do this twice more times. Twice more.
You're bound to get it right by the third one, yeah? Just before we dive into the main show, do you want to just double check you're on the right microphone as well?
Oh, no.
Oh, nuts, mate.
No. I don't know what you're talking about, Luke.
I've always been on the microphone.
There he is. And now we're all set up for the main show. Here is the AEW review.
PAC is back! Back again! PAC is back! PAC is back! PAC is back! PAC is back! Pack is back, pack is back, pack is back.
Na 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 na.
I created a monster.
Nobody wants to be Martian no more. I got shitting on top liver. Anyway, yeah.
I'm Mr. Davis. I'm joined by lukewarm Luke Owen. We're reviewing last night's episode of AEW Dynamite, where, even though he had a promo last week and his return was announced, last week, we were both like, it was just a pre-filmed promo, a little pre-edited thing on his sofa in Newcastle. Someone on Reddit, I don't know if you saw this, shared an expose of that storyline. Because in that promo, Pac said how he's just been stuck at home all this time. He's gone a bit loopy. He's become even more dangerous. But this Reddit user saw him walking around Newcastle, going to the shops, and walking his dog with a friend. Pac is a liar. And AEW lied to you.
I did see this because I watched the WrestleTalk news, which I would say is probably the best place to get your daily wrestling news, apart from Sundays, your daily wrestling news updates.
It's consistent. And we both thought that that was a good promo. We kind of just thought Pac would be in the building, though. But we were never given any reason to believe that. It is what it is. Nice to see Pac doing something. So at the end of this episode of Dynamite, after we got this fantastic match between Pentagon and Rey Fénix with Eddie Kingston on commentary, we'll talk about that when we do the full play-by-play part of the show, Pac comes out to confront Eddie Kingston. I just lost my mind. I didn't see it coming. It was there in plain sight, and I didn't see it coming.
Yeah, I think this would have been more impactful had we not had the promo last week, because like that's the thing that put the seed in your minds of being like, oh, Pac might come back soon and feud with Eddie Kingston. However, because he wasn't on the show last week, I didn't think he was going to be on the show this week. And oh man, it really caught me off guard. And it was that main event, dude. Every single thing about that main event, from the in-ring action to the commentary by Kingston to the arguing with Shivani to the post-match angle, then Pac's return was just this little cherry on top of what has been. It was fantastic stuff. It legit popped me. I was so excited to see the bastard back in action.
Okay, you've twisted my arm. Let's talk about that match right now. So it was it was Pentagon versus Rey Fénix 2. Of course, they had a opening round match, which was a quarterfinal match in the number one contender tournament that was eventually won by Kenny Omega. And Fénix won that opening match between them. But he was injured. He couldn't compete against Omega in the next round. So Pentagon took his place. Omega won that and another excellent match. So this was sort of the rematch between them. And Eddie Kingston was on commentary because, you know, this is his family. And he put it over as family's fight. And I was like, And then he said, just look at Cody and Dustin. I was like, oh my God, you got me. You're totally right. Families do just fight. And then he like said, they need to, you know, wins means more money on the table. We can be a faction and still have matches against each other. I was like, oh, you are just selling me on everything here.
But on the flip side of that, you had Tony Schiavone, who was playing the other side of this conversation, where he was going like, I mean, yeah, all of that sounds true, Eddie, but the Lucha Brothers were one of the best tag teams in AEW, and they were on a bit of a roll until you showed up. And now they're fighting each other and they've had two matches against each other. And Kingston is just like shutting Shivani down, being like, you shut up, Shivani, you shut up, Shivani. And it's like, you're thinking, okay, that's just Shivani playing devil's advocate. You know, he is doing what he's doing. And then you've got these moments when he keeps talking about how these are the best luchadors on the planet. And that one is my best friend. And you've got Penta ripping off the mask of Fénix, but they're talking about like that would be a DQ. If this was in Mexico, that would be a disqualification. And you've got Kingston defending it, being like, hey, you've got to do what you can, you know, in order to win a match. That's what the family does. That's what you want to do in order to provide for your family. And then later in the match, Fénix does it back to Pentagon, and Kingston says, that should be a DQ. That should be a DQ. He's taking this too far now. And the only time Kingston was against Penta is when Penta was like, you know, he did the package power driver on the apron and then the Canadian destroyer to the floor. And Kingston was like, I think you might have gone a bit too far now. But yeah, probably just time to end this one, mate.
It was only a little bit, though. Like, it wasn't like, oh, my God, stop the match. This is too far. It was like, maybe. Taken a little bit too far. But I thought this was fantastic because there are so many layers to this match and this whole segment, because Eddie Kingston is coming off of the biggest loss of his career, the biggest match of his career, the biggest loss. And that is the Full Gear matchup main event, AEW Championship against Jon Moxley. And it wasn't just a defeat, a pinfall. It wasn't just a tap out. He had to say the most humiliating words in wrestling: I quit. And that was the one thing Eddie could always hang his claim on, his Mad King claim on, that he wouldn't say I quit. And he comes out here and the fans are chanting his name and he shuts it down immediately. Being like, I know my own name. Don't chant it. And then he said that he said, you know, he admitted, I said I quit. I'm going to have to live with that. And it's that, I think the way he's going to live with it is sort of redirecting that shame that he feels on himself into something else. And where do people tend to redirect pain and shame and anger at themselves. They aim it on their family. And that's exactly what we saw here by Kingston egging on one side, choosing a favorite. There's kind of, you know, there's vibes of tribal chief here, where he is at the head of the family and he's pitting people against each other to find out who the top dog is. And he very much pinned his ribbon, or whatever the saying is, on Pentagon. And I think that's what made the Pac return so good, because Pac is coming to save the Lucha Bros from this abusive parental figure.
Or, and no, I'm not going to say or, because I think you're 100% on the button on there, which is what makes it so exciting. And I've seen a few people say that, are we going to get Pac and the Lucha Brothers versus Kingston and Butcher and Blade? Whereas I think what we might get is Pac and Phoenix versus Kingston and Penta as like the new tag teams of this division, which is, I mean, those are two, those are two incredible tag teams to add to an already stacked tag team roster. And there was so much stuff in this match, so much good stuff to talk about. We haven't even talked about the fact that Pentagon Jr. has invented the Canadian Destroyer DDT. Like, what was that move? It's almost like Penta was like, oh man, I think everyone does the Canadian Destroyer now. Like, it's, yeah, everyone's sort of past it now. What if it was a DDT instead? Like, yeah, okay, Penta. It was incredible.
Next week, Phoenix will do the same thing, but running off of a ring rope, the top ring rope. So that won't be the end of it. But yeah, I thought this was all really good. And beneath that layer was also this story of Pentagon in the previous match showing restraint against his brother. And it was that restraint that let Phoenix beat him, essentially. And here, Pentagon had to reestablish himself as the older brother, get that respect back. Even though it's not like Phoenix was mocking him, this was all a pride element from Pentagon. And he, you know, he did take it too far. He was the one who ripped the mask first. He was the one that hit the package power driver on the apron. So that does position Pentagon as more of a heelish figure. I think I don't really have any interest in seeing these guys as tag teams going forward. The tag division's too stacked, as you said. But I think for a feud, that will be a nice way to continue this on eventually for those big singles matches. You know, Phoenix versus Pentagon Tress, the rubber match, and Pac versus Kingston.
All of which I am so, so, so into. Pac's an incredible promo. You know, we were excited about Kingston Moxley promos, but Pac Kingston promos has got money written all over it as well. Can't wait to see all of that. And I just think the matches are going to be really, really great as well. Like the Pentagon thing I find so interesting. And, you know, as you pointed out in your review and just then now, which is it's the reasserting himself as the older brother. And I can almost make this headcanon of like, it's Kingston in his ear telling him this, being like, you do know you're the older brother, right? You're my best friend. You're the best luchador on the planet. And it is just like that reaffirmation of like, you're my best friend. You should be the best one of this team.
And you've got to think, and this is really a testament to AEW's character creation, that they can make people so complex that you can read this much into it. But when you see Kingston suddenly from out of nowhere, really, like he hasn't been saying you're my best friend, imposing himself as this mentor brother figure to Pentagon, that's sort of come out of nowhere. But you can trace that back to this fractured relationship with John Moxley, a lifelong friend, decade plus, who he almost treated as a brother, someone who was meant to look out for him. John Moxley promised Eddie's mum that he would look out for Eddie Kingston on the AEW roster. What is a more brotherly relationship than that? And that person made him say, I quit. So now Kingston is redirecting that, like, well, that was bad. I'm going to do, you know, it's just this cycle of abuse. I pass that on to you. It's just marvelous.
There's so much great stuff here. And yeah, and we didn't even get to really like, Pac is back, everyone. Like Pac is back in AEW. Haven't seen him since the start of the COVID era. So it's been a long, long time since we've had the bastard on TV. Cannot wait to see what he's going to do next. He's on TV next week, taking on Blade. perfect person for him to, you know, face first time off, you know, against the family, working through the family until you get to that final boss of Kingston. There's a lot of twists and turns that can still come yet, and I'm excited for all of this. And Pac's big return here is on the one-year anniversary, Ollie Davis, of CM Punk's return to wrestling.
Who did it better? Well,
who did...
Punk changed the culture.
He did, yeah.
And Tony Khan did tweet out. There's going to be a big power change in wrestling on that show. And yeah, I think both men definitely stuck to those promises.
I was going to say, we could talk about that that tweet promise in a little bit. But it's funny, I was talking to Kevin Mahan of the Attitude Era podcast about Punk's return, where he said it's the top three most underwhelming wrestling returns of all time. Mm-hmm. And I said, I think you could probably make the argument it is the most underwhelming. He said, yeah, but if you make it the most underwhelming, that gives it some form of accreditation. And it was so underwhelming, it shouldn't even be in the conversation of the most underwhelming moments. Mm.
Just one more thing on Kingston, which I only really thought about later when I was writing my review of the show, is you see this all the time with people who organically get over. They get the match, the big title match, as sort of, there you go, fans, someone got over that you like, here's the big title match. They lost, now they're going to go back to where we want them to be, in the mid-card or the tag division or even the undercard. And... you know, like, oh, this company's got to get past the fact that someone organically got fans. Mm-hmm. And what we've seen here is Kingston organically get over, go for the Jon Moxley title at Full Gear, main event at a pay-per-view, out of nowhere on and off charts after an accident. And that wasn't it for him. That they have immediately transitioned from that into a main event storyline. It was the main event segment of the show here. It was Pac's return back. It's not just Kingston versus Pac. There's this huge layered rift going through the family underneath him. I'm just so happy that someone has something to do post the big crescendo loss.
And you pointed this out in your review, but Penta Phoenix won. It was a needle mover. Like, it was a big ratings draw for AEW. So TK, being he's a stats man, scupid up dab bad up, has seen and be like, huh, ratings, huh? Put more of that on television, shall we? Let's move this legit needle mover into a main event position, because that's how you elevate things.
Which is great for Lucha, not so good for women. Let's do our super chat. Oh.
Sorry, just before we do start the super chats, on that TK thing, which I think we might get into, Fight Game Ross has quite pointed out here that the big change was Shaq. Like, we're being facetious when we say that it was Pac. I think a lot of people, though, did think that Pac's return is what TK was talking about. But I'm pretty sure what he was talking about was the fact that Shaq is going to have a match in AEW.
Well, I believe Tony Khan's tweet last night before Dynamite was the balance of power of wrestling or whatever is going to shift. Like not just tonight, but, you know, in the next month or so, because he already said on the post-media call at Full Gear, we've got some big things planned for the rest of this year. And on this show, there's the tease of Shaq, the return of Pac. That right. And then the AEW championship match between Moxley and Omega on TV for December. And I've got to think, that's potentially a title change. Kenny Omega is the champion within a month's time, potentially. Yeah, I think that's a power-shifting tease worthy. Everyone joking that, oh, it's Dixie Carter teasing something for Impact. I'm like, Jesus Christ, just because they didn't do something immediate, when he never promised that it was immediate, I think is, you know, very entitled.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Do you like quizzes? Do you like wrestling? Do you like watching self-professed experts in their fields being exposed as dangerous frauds? Then you'll love Quizzlemania, brought to you by Parts Funknown, the team behind acclaimed wrestling RPG No Rolls Barred. Join us every week as four wrestling pundits pit their knowledge against each other in a cerebral wrangle for prizes, glory, and a bit of good old-fashioned escapism. Enjoy the videos live every Wednesday on Parts Funknown's YouTube channel, or subscribe right now to have them beam straight to your mobile device. Quizzlemania, it's the showcase of the Immorons.
Well, we'll do some super chats now as a sort of public service announcement. We said it on Quizzlemania last night. YouTube takes 30% of all your lovely money that you send us, your very generous donations to help this channel. 30% of it goes to YouTube. So we're, you know, there is a way around this, which is Streamlabs. So we've got wrestletalk.com/support. If you go there, you can just do your super chat submission. Our moderators will pick it up fine and we'll still do everything seamlessly. We'll even get a little graphic that pops up eventually. But from next week, we're going to experiment with turning off super chats. You can still super chat in. It's just going to have to be through that Streamlabs link. But yes, that's just a PSA. Yeah.
Basically, we're just a bit sick and tired of YouTube coming round to our houses, knocking on the door, taking 30% of the money we make, and then saying that our mums smell. Like, it's about time that it stopped, really.
It's food off our table.
Yeah. I'm not having it anymore. My mum's lovely. Stop telling me that she's rubbish.
Makes great chutney. So let's get into your old-fashioned super chats. For now, Nate S. See a lot of complaints about the return not living up to the hype. Everyone is too negative. At least it wasn't Ryback, LOL.
Can you imagine if it was Ryback? Oh, it'd have been funny if it were Ryback. If it were Ryback or Cornette, like that would have been trolling at the highest level.
I like that as a t-shirt slogan. At least it wasn't Ryback. And there's a picture of him like this.
And then spearing a large lady into a swimming pool.
Anthony Velasquez. Genuinely excited to see Pac back. Miss seeing him on Dynamite. So there's someone who's happy. Matthew Makovsky. Kingston Butcher and Blade versus Pac and Lucha Bros. We've already covered our thoughts on that. Yeah. But yeah, we think it will more likely be a tag, just a straight up tag of Phoenix Pac versus Pentagon Kingston. Christopher Jazzcat. JFC. How dare Pac walk his dog? It's a work, people.
I don't know. It's Jesus effing Christ. How dare, like, because people were saying, like, I think people were having a bit of fun with the fact that, and it was a bit of fun. Also, Sat's fault. It was Ryback.
Hey. At least it wasn't Rypac. Rhys Johnson, another cracking episode of AEW. How can anyone dislike this? Product is beyond me. Do you think we'll get a triple threat for the title? Omega, Page, and Pac.
Oh, I mean, we haven't. Triple threats aren't really something that has happened. I don't think it's ever happened in AEW, has it? Like a proper triple threat? I don't think it has.
Oh, how refreshing for a triple threat to feel important, exotic.
No, you want to do a whole pay-per-view where every match is a triple threat.
Inside a steel cage. It's the bunkhouse pay-per-view. Charlie Davis. Eddie made me hate him last night. He was cruel to everyone on commentary and especially to Phoenix. I'm so glad Pac is going to destroy him.
Oh, yeah. That's a sign of a great heel. You want to see him get beaten up.
Christopher Jazzcat, should they be forcing the heel thing so hard with Kingston? Fans want to cheer him, not suggesting a face turn, maybe more tweener cool heel.
Well, there is that argument, is the Triple H argument of like, there are no heels and faces anymore. You cheer the people you want to cheer and boo the people you want to boo. If you want to cheer Kingston, then you're more than welcome to. But the character of Kingston is this mad kink. You don't want Kingston to be baby facing it up and like him going clap, doing the clap of like, this is awesome, whatever it is you marks like to do. Now we've got to actually get down to some actual business.
Miguel Dominguez, Penta's Canadian DDT destroyer. Ollie got all wet.
It was nuts. Absolutely insane.
The Jam one, Ryan B. Jam. I'm conflicted. I want a Penta singles run, but not a Lucha Bros breakup. Also, Dustin knows everything is better with more cowbell. Low three out of five, in my opinion.
Love it.
Low three out of five. Huh.
Oh, actually, yeah, that's a heck of a... I think that's a bit of a damning... I thought it was a really great episode with a bunkhouse match.
And finally for now, Matthew McFadden. Remember when Eddie's boys were formed? He said, let's huddle. We're a family. We stick together. And winked into the camera. Now we know. Why?
Oh, long... term. I mean, I don't know, but I mean, as fans, we just can't handle long-term storytelling anymore. We're too thick for it, basically.
Oh, but I've got a little long-term story I'd like to dish out to you right now. Luke Cohen.
That's what your girlfriend told me as well.
What does that even mean?
You've got a long penis. That's what I was
in 10, about. Unlike Cody, this guy has a small penis, humiliatingly small penis that he booked someone to say. And then they spanked his wife on the butt. We'll get to that. But for now, I'm going to talk about Survivor Jams, the live reactions of Survivor Series for WrestleTalk. That's right. It's a 3-on-3 elimination, Team All Authority, which really should just be called the All Authority. No need to put a team there, graphic man Andy Datson. It's Mr. Davis, me, and Chopper Pete Quinnell, and Vacant versus Team Lukewarm, with two vacants and a lukewarm, but he doesn't actually have any friends. So get used to that image, because it's going to be like he's tagging with Casper, his friendly ghosts. Those are the only friends he has. But right now, I can unveil my last vacant. Welcome to the All Authority. Noogay. Louis Dangor.
Who? Oh, it's Louis.
Noogay.
It's Louis.
It's Nuggets.
Listen, people are probably wondering why I've joined the All Authority, but it wasn't even, I guess, a hard decision. When Ollie messaged me, Mr. Davis messaged me, it wasn't hard. Who was the first person to message me after Quizlemania? When I beat you, Luke, it was Mr. Davis. Who was the first person after you decided to make me a sort of meme with the whole get rowdy thing? Who was the first person to message me and say, are you all right with this? It was Mr. Davis. You've just found yourself making a mockery of me, and I've honestly had enough. This will end. Stop that.
No, thank you. You respect Louis Dangor when he's talking to you.
Stop that.
Got him over.
It did. Thank you. But
you're welcome.
Mr. Davis, and he's a smart man. Some of you will be thinking, listen, I'm not a podcaster. I'm not a regular figure on the main WrestleTalk channel. So why has he asked me to be part of the Oli Authority? Well, I've got previous at knowing how to beat you for a title, Luke. Think back to Quizlemania. I've dethroned you once, and I'm going to help Mr. Davis do it again at Survivor Jams next weekend. Exactly. It's happening. I'm part of the team. That's it. There's nothing more anyone can do. We're complete. Myself, Pete, Mr. Davis. There's no team you could comprehensively figure out. There's no team you could comprehensively create that could get anywhere near us. And we're going to get rowdy all over you next weekend, you jambroni.
Yes, it's getting over, jambroni. Can we get that graphic back up again? Look at that chin. That is a chin that can take all of the punches. Louis Dangor, you got a little butt chin right there. That's a Cary Grant chin.
I do have a butt chin. I do.
I've never seen that before.
I think it was the angle.
Do you think it's the lighting?
It's the angle and the light.
I think it's you don't notice it like usually. I wouldn't say that you've got a butt chin, mate. No.
Well, that's not a slight. My mum loves a butt chin.
I mean, I don't see it here.
Stop that.
Don't see it in that picture at all.
You respect Nugget.
Nuggets.
No more of this nugget stuff.
Nugget is dead. There is no nugget.
You over.
There is no nugget.
Why are you going against the things that get you over? Why are you trying to deny the things that get you over?
Because listen, what got me over here was Mr. Davis saying, you know what, let's start wrestling daily and asking me to be part of this. None of this nugget rubbish, none of this get rowdy rubbish. It was Mr. Davis allowing me to show what I can do. So Nugget is dead. I am here now, and I will be referred to as either Nugay or Louis Dangor going forward.
Are we just purposefully mispronouncing Nugar? Like, are we purposefully mispronouncing
it? No, it is Nugay.
Nugay. It's exotic. It's European.
Don't wrong. It only is. Yeah, yeah.
Don't lie.
Delight, I guess. Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you, Nugay.
The balance of Wrestle Talk has shifted.
Yeah, you're damn right. Oh, yeah. I bet you're shaking in your little booties, aren't you?
I don't know, because
of course I've got Meg.
I've got people. My phone's off the hook at the moment because I'm actually taking people's calls. The amount of people that want to be part of Team Lukewarm.
What's this? It's a live feed of Laurie Blake watching on, huh?
That is 100% a live feed as well,
it's
I would imagine.
It's a live moving image feed. I don't know if you've seen Laurie in the flesh, but he does just stand really, really still sometimes when he watches TV.
He's actually, he managed to stand so still, he's almost invisible to the human eye.
Well, he said he's out, though. He's not taking part. We'll have to see what happens in this ongoing thing. But right now, get your Team All Authority t-shirt. It's such good jam. Yes. And don't get the lukewarm one, although you can, because All Authority shirts are out selling stupid Yes Please ones. Two to one, Luke. That's going to be 1 point to us.
Is it? Is that how it works?
I just made that up.
You can't just make up rules, man. We need to get fakey to makey the rules again.
Right, let's get on with the rest of the AEW review. Enough of this nonsense. Nugay. Right, so AEW kicked off with new...
Great question. Intro. Great question, Jobber JJ. What is your role in the Oli Authority? Jobber JJ, he hates you, mate. That's what your role is. He hates you, mate.
Cheerleader. That's what you are. You're a pep talker, hype man. That's your role. So the AEW opened with a brand new Dynamite opening intro credit sequence with fancy new promo shots.
Cool, right?
Yeah, same entrance music, which is good. And the show kicked off with a typically awesome Team Taz promo because Brian Cage had a really good opener with Matt Sydal. They went back and forth for about 10 minutes. Impressive Cage strength spots. Impressive Sydal flippy spots. He did a double knees off the top rope onto the stage at one point. But Cage incredibly caught Sydal midair in a suplex and then hit the drill claw to win.
It was nuts. Absolutely. It was insane. Like, he caught him. And there wasn't even a stumble. Like, I know that Matt Sydal isn't like, you know, he's not a Brutus Beefcake or anything. He's not a big lad. But even so, Brian Cage caught him in the middle of a flip and was just like, drill claw, lad. And it was, and there was nothing to it. It was absolutely no effort to Brian Cage to do this. It was a wicked finish.
Yeah, after that, Team Taz then threatened the TNT Revolution will be televised. Of course, Darby is watching up in the stands. Socially distancing. I like it. And then this threat was delivered on immediately in the next segment, which I don't know if it was good or not. Do you know what I mean? It happened.
Yeah, okay, so here's what happened if you didn't see the show. Cody comes out for this promo congratulating Darby Allin, who was seemingly left his position at this point, and said that he won't be seeking a rematch. Instead, he wants to face MJF and get his revenge on MJF, you know, which is he's certainly more than welcome to try. But this woman gets into the ring, this woman called Jade Cargill, who is a very, very impressive looking lad. She's got, you know, she's physically very, very impressive, but she's not the world's greatest promo. So her promo was, it was interesting because she was making, she was had some good lines in there, but it wasn't like the best delivered promo in the world. And I was like, why isn't this that? Why am I not really getting into this promo? And then Brandi Rhodes comes out and shows, and I was like, oh, right, that's because that's what a good promo sounds like. Because Brandi Rhodes is a really, really good promo. And because Cody's a really good promo as well, it sort of stuck out like a sore thumb. But the gist of all of this is, A, Cody's got a tiny dick, and B, Shaq is coming into AEW, which is a rumor we've actually had for quite a while now when Shaq signed this TNT deal. And Shaq was like, hey, I'd love to have a match with Cody. And a lot of people were like, yeah, but that's not going to happen, though, is it? What a silly thing. You wrestling clickbaiters with your headlines about Shaq having a match, you clickbait bot, you clickbait bastards. No, it looks like Shaq's going to have a match in AEW against Cody Rhodes, which is bonkers, really.
I wanted the next segment to cut to Big Show at home and just looks down and goes, God damn it.
God damn it.
Because he wants that WrestleMania match against Shaq. He has done forever, but he main evented WrestleMania this year, so it's all good. So this way, yeah. It was weird. Jade Cargill gets in the ring. And at first I was like, what? Has someone jumped the ropes? We've seen her actually in the crowd for like a month now. And she referenced that in her promo being like, I've been watching from ringside, yada, yada, yada. And she said that Cody is a giant killer. And then she talks about giants and then says, oh, but one thing that isn't giant about you is your penis. And that was where the dick joke came in. And yeah, it was. So I guess the role she is playing is she is sort of the hype girl, the manager, the sort of heralder of doom, Silver Surfer. She is the Silver Surfer to Shaq Galactus.
Oh, Shaq
Galactus.
Shaq Galactus.
Girl Shaqtus.
And nothing's going to be better than Shaq Lactus, I'm afraid.
Shaq Lactus is going to come in as a... We're all going to be excited about him. How is he going to be visually portrayed? But it'll just be smoke coming in from the entrance.
A big fart cloud, which is a big... I'm like, I'm Shaq now.
Only Tim Story 2006 nerds get that joke. I totally agree with you. Like, Jade had good stuff, but unfortunately, she's just nowhere near the level of promo everyone else is.
And that's it. Like, AEW is the land of great promos. Yeah. Really, it is. Like, everyone's cutting great promos.
So from a charisma level, it didn't quite work. And just, like, it just made it all feel a bit clunky. Like, it was a bit confusing. And at the end, when she said, because she goes, you know, there's one giant you haven't killed, Shaq. I was like, what? You know, I wasn't like, oh, my God, it's Shaq. I was like, what? It's like she almost needed to cut to a promo on the screen. But then, like, Brandi comes out, she starts yelling, don't you ever go up my, don't speak to my husband like that again. And she turns around and then Jade just pats Brandy on the butt and freaking Jerry Lynn runs out to split them up. Like, what's going on here? Shaq? I'm stuck on Shaq. And then
I popped for Jerry Lynn, I'll be honest with you. I was like, oh, Jerry Lynn's here.
I want him to have the match. And then Darby runs it. Team Taz attack Cody. Darby runs in for the save. Team Taz are fought off. And then Will Hobbs just runs out, lobs a chair at Team Taz and rips off his shirt. And I'm like, okay, that there's, I like all of these people. I don't mind the idea of Cody going against Shaq. I think celebrity wrestling matchups are a big part of professional wrestling in the United States. It's a nice tradition. All In, the prologue show to AEW, had a fantastic one. Christopher Daniels versus Stephen Amell. So I'm totally fine with that. I just thought the way they went about it was the more overbooked bad WCW side of Cody's tastes than the sort of logical strength I'm used to.
Yes. What was interesting here about the Will Hobbs thing is Will Hobbs attacked late by design, right? Because he's still that tease of Team Taz. So you don't want to have him outright attack Team Taz because you want to continue that. Is he going to join them or not? I think him attacking them would sort of definitively answer that. Because if he then joins, you ask, well, why did you attack them 2 weeks ago then? So I thought that it sort of worked, but also sort of didn't. Because it works if you put that headcanon around it. But without that headcanon around it, Team Taz had already gone. And then Will Hobbs came out. I was like, I'm here, lads. I'm here to protect you guys from... Oh, it's a good job I'm here. You were about to get your asses kicked. It's like, we've already ran them out of town. Shake harder, boy. It was very, very weird. Like, the whole segment was good, but clunky good? I don't know. I'm unsure on it.
It was fine.
Yeah.
It did a thing. I wouldn't show it to a friend.
No.
Usually pretty much every episode of AEW we're like, man, we can show this to anyone and it will make a fan of them like that. Maybe not this one.
I was fine with it. You'd show them that main event. But probably. And even if they're a big Shaq fan as well. And hey, I'm a Shaq fan. I rate Steel. I think it's a pretty decent, one of the better DC late 90s movies.
I also wouldn't show them the next segment because there were sound issues, quite basic stuff. Alex Marvez, I'm sure John Moxley cut a good promo talking about Eddie Kingston and Kenny Omega and his sights next. They're going to have the title match on the 2nd of December episode, which we're already kind of covered. That's huge. I genuinely think the title's going to change hands. How exciting will that be?
I would put money on it. I'm not a betting man, but I would put money that Kenny Omega is going to take the title away. Also, I mean, I know we didn't get to hear Mox's promo. I'm sure it was great, but we didn't really get to hear it. Kenny's promo later on more than made up for it because holy heckins, it was good. And I'm fully confident that Kenny Omega is going to walk away with the title on December 2nd. What a lovely little Christmas present that will be.
After that, we got the Bunkhouse match, which is the culmination of this months-long dark feud. Well, stretching back really 6 months, I guess, of Ali being with the Natural Nightmares and the family for a bit, and then she defected back to Butcher and Blade. So this was the payoff to that. And yeah, it was just a really fun hardcore match with Hay.
Oh, which, you know, that'll play buggers with your allergies, mate.
I said in the review, give me the rubbing alcohol every time. The sort of tickly nose thing, the sneeze that's always on the edge of coming. Nuh-uh. No. Slice my head open before I go through that.
I won't make an edge of coming joke either. It was there for the taking. But this was a very, very fun hardcore match. I thought it was really, really great. And actually, you know, I've seen a few people poo-poo this because some people are making the argument of it's two nobody teams. Like, why are they being given this much exposure? It's like, well, the argument there surely is that the point of this was to get both teams over. Mm. And both teams felt like bigger deals coming out of this match than when they went in. So I'd see it as a big win. I thought, you know, QT doing the big elbow drop off the ladder and Blade kicking out of that. I thought Bunny taking the bump through the table was really good. But Dustin, in the opening minutes of this match, gave the final reckoning to Butcher through a couple of chairs. Brutal as all heck. I thought this was a wicked match. I really, really enjoyed it. My note for this was, at the end, that was so much better than it needed to be.
Yeah, you'll find no one sort of more arguing for a bit more like distinction or whatever between Dark and Dynamite. Like, it's a relationship that's not particularly well handled. Tony Khan even admitted himself last week that he treats it as though everyone watches every single thing they do, when he's starting to realize, ah, that's not the way to present his product. But I thought this was a really good example of having these feuds occasionally represented on Dynamite, but mainly taking place on Dark. And then, you know, I got the story. I got the emotion here. And it was that sort of poetic finish where Blade knocked Ali off the apron through a table because she was sort of the real Jezebel, as JR called her.
Oh, he was that. Waiting for it, wasn't he? A Jezebel. What was that Jezebel one?
And yeah, that led to the loss of Blade taking the pin. I guess the only thing I'd change would be making the guy who's facing Pac next week look stronger, not take the pin. But yeah,
you can't pin Butcher. He's the big one.
Well, then have Pac face Butcher next week, I guess. but
you can't.
I really enjoy.
You can't beat Butcher first. You've got to be Blade first because he's the smaller one.
After that, we had Matt Hardy telling Sammy Guevara that he gave him a gift by essentially kayfabe murdering him at Full Gear. And I was like, okay, well, you know, it was what it was. I hope that they actually do something with it now they've done it. And they didn't later in the night. We'll come on to it. Because after that, we got an excellent segment. MJF and Wardlow officially inducted into the Inner Circle by Chris Jericho.
This was very as wonderful as you would imagine it would be. they come out, the Inner Circle come out. There's no Sammy Guevara with them, but Jericho's confused. Like, well, I spoke to Sammy earlier. Like, you know, where? Oh, we'll figure that out when we get to it. And they bring out MJF, who cuts this amazing. He made it on his own with just a small loan from his dad. A small loan of it. Like, no one, like everyone else struggles, and as I did too. It was a really, really, and he's written a promo. I love this. He said, I've written a promo that my homies, Proud and Powerful, are going to like. And they explained the joke here, and because I didn't get the joke, you know, but they explained the jokes to the point where it made it work, because the joke is they're Drake lyrics that Jericho didn't know and Hager didn't know, but Proud and Powerful did know. And they were like, no, guys, these are Drake lyrics. And MJF was like, I've never heard of Drake. I've never heard of this, man. These are lyrics that I've written on my own.
Well, then he followed it up. I don't know if this one went over your head as well, Ben, because he said, no, I just wrote that promo on my own. I started from the bottom, now I'm here, which is another famous Drake lyric.
Oh, is it really?
They used to open every Progress show with it.
I was about to say, I mean, you would know because you were there before it was cool, right?
There before it was cool, left as soon as network. It got hot. I know. I'm waiting for my royalty check. Might have been really nice.
Yeah, if you want to go find out facts, if you want to go like Facts Hunters, if you want to see Ollie Davis, early Ollie Davis, he's on the WWE Network at a Progress show. I think it's in the Aleister Black collection.
Mm. The amount of the loan as well, by the way, was $1 million, which made it all the better. But yet then MJF said, because Ortiz was distrusting him here after using the Drake lyrics, he said, I've got a surprise birthday celebration for Chris Jericho, who turned 50 at the weekend. I'm taking you all to Las Vegas. I cannot wait for that segment.
And you know what? I've got more faith that this is going to happen than the bachelor party for Kip Sabian at this point. I'm pretty sure we're actually going to get to see these Las Vegas shenanigans, but I don't think we're ever going to get to see this bachelor party.
Yeah, because it's a Jericho thing.
Yeah.
I think that, yeah.
These are actually going to happen. What happened to Billy Mitchell?
Oh, I don't know. So Alex Marvez after that asked the Young Bucks, because they super kicked him last time, what they're going to do now they're AEW Tag Team Champions. Matt Jackson said, next week, we're going to fight Top Flight, who are the new signees, signed last week.
Now, my only minor criticism here is that I would have shown clips of the match that they had on Dark, because they had a match on Dark this week that apparently like everyone was been raving about, being like, this is why AEW signed this team, because they are incredible. Someone said, it's like Amazing Red and Low Key were a tag team. And I know, right? Like, so show clips of that to put over this match that you can, you're going to get to see the Young Bucks versus this team next week. It's your footage. Like, just show us it.
After that, we got Sean Spears versus Scorpio Sky. Another one of those dark feuds that has had its moments on Dynamite that sort of got, well, I thought it was going to be a blow-off match. Because, you know, like post-pay-per-view shows are typically resets of feuds and characters. But really, it was kind of a continuation. They had a decent match, but Tully slipped the loaded glove to Sean Spears, who used it to win.
Mm. Yeah, good stuff. Solid wrestling. I really like Scorpio Sky. I really like Sean Spears. He's a good hand, is Sean Spears, to have in the company, you might say. Scorpio Sky's incredible. Decent match. Yeah, good stuff.
Third best win-loss record in the company. Scorpio Sky.
But it is against, like, it's against nobody's, isn't it? But you know rankings. What? I was going to say, to AEW's credits, and I like the way that they do sort of position this a lot, which is that, you know, going into the match with Cage and Matt Sydal, they were like, both these guys are coming in like six win runs. So now you get to see these two people who've got like six wins behind their backs going head to head. That's really nice. That's really cool. And that's why you have them facing these sort of like, you know, low level people. So when Scorpio Sky's on TV, they're like, "What? Look at his incredible win loss record that he's got in 2020. It makes them feel like a big deal. I like that.
Sorry, I just saw as you were talking, $100 super chat came in, and I looked up. And it was the second $100 super chat that had come in. So we'll answer everything at the end, of course. But I'd just like to say a huge, huge thank you to Anthony Pride and Gabriel Caruso, who I recognize those names from the chats usually. Thank you. Wow.
Thank you so much. I hope that wasn't a typo.
I love you guys more than JR loves picture in picture. And oh my, is that a lot. He loves those little picture in picture breaks. He puts those over more than the Ultimate Deletion match.
At one point, he was just like, "These are history making picture in pictures."
He said this last week as well. He was like, "Industry leading picture in picture ad breaks." And this week, he said something similar. And Excalibur went, "A lot of other places do." So I don't know if JR just hates them and he's being over the top with it. I don't know. That we got the Kenny Omega bit next, the answer to Mox's one earlier, where he no-showed a Dasher interview. She had the whole setup backstage ready to go, but Marvez found him walking in the parking lot, and Kenny told him, "Look, I'm ready to reassume my role as the cleaner. I'm going to win the AEW championship in a sanctioned match." And he brilliantly pointed out that Moxley and Omega have never had a sanctioned proper match in AEW. Their Full Gear one, where Omega lost, was unsanctioned. And I just thought, oh my God, it never counted towards the win-loss record. Brilliant storytelling.
That is a year's worth of, like, that was a little seed that was planted last year that is now paying off 1 year later. That, yeah, they are 0-0. Really? Because he talked about it, like, "I've checked the history books, I've checked the records. There's no registered match against us." So there was really, like, I also really loved his, that, you know, I've heard the chatter of people asking, "Where's the cleaner? Where's the best bout machine? Where's the Kenny Omega that we saw in New Japan? He never left. I'm just reassuming that role." Oh, that was really nice bit of like character work there. I thought it was a great Kenny promo. And yep, as I said earlier, fully expecting him to win the title on December 2nd.
Yeah. After that, we got our lipstick service segment, the same slot as always. You'd think, hey, AEW had a pay-per-view at the weekend. The women's match was really good. You know, put the Vicky Guerrero stuff aside. They even had a post-match story angle where Vicky Guerrero slapped Nyla Rose. And Tony Khan admitted that the treatment of the women's division has not been great, and it's something he wants to do better with. So here we got Ty Conti versus Red Velvet in a match which doesn't relate to anything in the title picture, doesn't set up a number one contender, doesn't do anything. This is a broken freaking record at this point. I cannot believe it. Every time we give them a little bit of a chance to do something to improve, every time we are let down. And they know it's a problem. They said as much.
Yeah, I actually found an old episode of this podcast when I was gathering some stats together in sort of January, I think, where we were like, the AEW women's division is fixed. Like, because they had a really good segment. We were like, look, they're finally righted this ship. Here we are nearly a year later, and yet it's the same thing. Good match, though. I enjoyed this stuff between Ty Conti and Red Velvet. But it was good stuff. You know, the commentators were putting over, these are women in their formative years. Red Velvet only had wrestling introduced to her 4 years ago. So, you know, she's very, very early in her story. So there is, you know, there's laying some groundwork. But at the same time, they also showed, like, the recaps of the Shida Rose match and the Serena Deeb Allison Kay match at the same time, because they were like, and here is the women's stuff. Like, it is just so, it's so, like, transparent that all of the women's stuff is lumped together. Promo packages, segments, interviews, it's all given, and it's always the same spot. It's as if Tony knows, TK to his friends, that it's the lowest viewed part of AEW, so that's where he puts it. Again, it's just, it's bollocks, basically. But yeah, you know, it's a broken record. We've been saying it for a year now.
Yeah. Yeah. So the little bit of story element, because there was a little bit in there, but it wasn't really to build the women's division, was Anna Jay slid Conti the chair to use in the finish. But Ty Nara, or Ty, decided not to cheat and won all by herself. So there was some Dark Order stuff. Evil Uno and Stu Grayson were watching on from the entrance tunnel as well. Poor guys. I'd like to see them wrestle a bit more as well. And then the final segment we'll talk about, because we've already covered the main event of Pentagon versus Phoenix, was all the Inner Circle excited to go off to Las Vegas next week. And Sammy Guevara turns up and says, you told me to go to the beach, to MJF.
Yeah.
And MJF was like, no, that was the first email. I sent you a second email. And Sammy's like, no, you didn't. And he was starting to get hot with him there. And MJF gave him the ticket, said, look, mate, here's your ticket. I did send you that second email. And he, like...
It was earnest.
What I loved about this is the Inner Circle, the rest of them have walked off by this point. And anywhere else, MJF would go, I hate you. I'm going to, you know... And of course, the Inner Circle could watch that back and really quickly work out he was a mole. Or like, you know, a negative influence. But they didn't do that. They, like... MJF just played it straight. I sent you the email.
I sent it to you, man. There was a second email. It was so earnest, I actually believed him. So I was like, oh, Sammy, you need to check your emails better, mate.
Yeah, so that's, by the way, that's Sammy selling the concrete concussion, the Edge-style concerto on the floor with the concrete and the chair to the face from Saturday night. He was totally fine, really.
But is the ultimate deletion a real world? You know, if it happens in the garage, does that bleed over into real life?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. And that's one of the problems. So overall, I really, really enjoyed this episode. I thought it was a really solid post-pay-per-view episode. Nothing crazy over the top. Well, I guess you got the pack return and the main event. Like, there's an argument that this was an average episode of Dynamite because it was just... really, 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 really good.
Yeah. And that is your average standard.
Yeah.
Like four out of five is the average kind of quality of an episode of Dynamite, yeah. Mm-hmm.
If it was out of 10, I would have given this a 7, maybe.
Yeah, 7. Yeah. That's a great one, yeah. Yeah.
Right, so let's do our Patreon shout-outs, because they are back, people. If you go over to WrestleTalk's Patreon page and become a $25 a month or more backer, you get a shout-out and a wrestling nickname and a cheap pop on this very show. Give me some cheap pops in the comments. Thank you, Fuglife, Andreas Fuglistalla.
Great. Woo. Good pronunciation. Kevin, Wakeham.
Thank you. The Craftsman, Blake Huck.
Blake Carpenter, thank you very, very much. Oh, Wonderwall, Ryan Gallagher.
The Fresh Princeton, El Ganey.
Nice. $100 Man, C.D. Horver.
Yes. Superkick, Nick Mazesco.
Nice. Hey, he's a good lad. The Kessel Run, DX Solo.
Yeah. And love Allison. He can last Sean for longer than you in the ring.
Oh, he sure can. No one names their kid this anymore.
Larry!
Thank you, Larry. WrestleTalk's personal ring announcer, Rodrigo Benitez.
Lovely. Will always mark out for Ollie Landrum. Mark.
Thank you. The roller coaster, Robert Acosta.
Lovely. Cheap pops all around. Luke's favorite fan, the one, the only, the awesome Bubba.
Thank you. And Ronald Coleman. Baby.
Lovely stuff.
Very much. Let's get on with your super chats. Remember, next week we will be experimenting with turning super chats off and taking everyone over to Streamlabs. Let's see how that works out. But just as a PSA.
Yeah. And you know what? You may think to yourself, oh, but it's going to be so difficult. It's really not. It's going to wrestletalk.com/support. It takes you right there. We'll have a link to it in the video description. It'll be the pinned comment in the chat. It'll be exactly the same as leaving a super chat. But actually, it'll be, if anything, easier and more beneficial to everyone involved.
Because YouTube takes 30% cut of all your lovely donations, so we're trying to get around that. Plus, we'll make it so a little animation of me dancing pops up every time you do that. But super chats for now. Mike D. I felt like Penta and Phoenix ripping each other's masks off was symbolic of their relationship being torn apart. Can't wait for Pac and Kingston.
Very good. That's a good point. Yeah, yeah.
It was a really striking visual image, both there with their ripped masks. I loved it. Perseus M. Pac versus Kingston would be like Joker versus Punisher. Can't wait. Alexis Ebden. Was it only me who saw that Penta looked a little upset after Eddie pushed Phoenix out of the ring? It looked to me like he thought he'd gone too far.
That's interesting. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I can beat up my little brother, but no one else can. Daniel Davis, were we supposed to boo Butcher and the Blade because QT went after a married woman? Has me super excited for Death Triangle versus Kingston and Butcher and Blade.
Well, I think it's also that it was Ali that went after QT more than QT went after a married woman, I guess.
It was a bit of a mess of a storyline, though.
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
It never really worked. On the subject of the Cody Shaq stuff, Fran Chili, Cargill's promo was so bad it made Brandy look like Eddie Kingston. Great episode, though. Shaq does the NBA for TNT, so it makes sense to bring him in, but I'm not sure if I like it. Hashtag jam that jam.
Shagadelic.
Well, Shaklactus is the word. Tony L, I thought the Jade and Brandy promo was really fun. Hopefully they keep storyline. Fingers crossed.
Cody's involved, and like a Jericho segment, it's definitely staying around if Cody's involved.
Dried chicken without flavor? Ugh. If Cody attacks Shaq out of nowhere on the NBA on TNT, set to get major publicity, my mind will explode. That'd be cool.
That's a money way to do it, dude. That's such a great idea. And like they've got that relationship with TNT to kind of pull that off as well.
And the NBA's starting up again next month, I believe.
Hasn't the NBA always been going on?
I don't know. I just know that WWE have to get out of the Amway Center because NBA's going there.
But I think like basketball has been killing AEW and NXT sometimes. At least an un-American sport has been killing AEW and NXT sometimes in ratings. So it might be that one.
Nate drop surname. Haven't figured out how to change my name on here yet. Laughed when Jade made a big deal of Shaq having one name and Shivani immediately saying... She must mean Shaquille O'Neal.
One name, like Madonna.
Daniel Davis again. Has anyone told Brandi Rhodes that wrestling isn't real? She did get very upset. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's an amazing $100 super chat from Gabriel Caruso. Thank you ever so much. Jade is an amazing promo. Really loved the segment between her, Cody, and Brandi. Shaq is a huge household name in the US, bigger than Mike Tyson for reference. Also,
whoa, Gabriel Caruso. Don't be throwing those kind of aspersions around. People will get super upset with you.
Tay Conti and Red Velvet. Match was great and a great intro to new character development and a feud between Tay and Anna Jay. I feel like the women's division is really picking up. Well, Gabriel Caruso really enjoyed those bits that we kind of weren't that fussed on.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you can look at that women's division and see that there are things in the making there. I've been burned far too many times by this company, unfortunately, when it comes to that. But I do agree with you that I think Shaquille O'Neal is a much bigger name than Mike Tyson is in 2020. Come at me, comments. I got so much heat for saying that he was like, he's not that much of a big name anymore.
We should have gone with ex-WWE star.
Paul Kerr says, three things in life are certain. Death, taxes, and Will Hobbs beating the holy Jesus out of furniture with a steel chair. Rangers Mayhem, with references to North Carolina, what do you think of the Good Brothers joining Kenny Omega? Carl is from there, and you have a relationship with Don Callis. Throw in TK willingness to work with other promotions.
Yeah, that would be good. I don't really associate Gallows and Anderson with the Omega era of Bullet Club, though. You know, that they're AJ's boys. The Bucks were Kenny's boys. But yeah, I'd love to see a working relationship between them.
Matthew Makowski, who will Omega face for the title after December 2nd? Paige?
I don't think you do Paige that soon. I don't know.
Hmm. Interesting.
You want a heel, don't you?
I mean, it's always Pentagon.
Yeah. It's Pentagon.
Good point. Phil Roberts, Dynamite was genuinely really excited. Main event, a roller coaster ride. Speaking of exciting rides, saw your mum the other day. Jam that jam. Josh said, my mum's a saint. Commentary last night was distracting me for the first time since pre-Dynamite. Salty JR turned up and Tony struggled at times. It took me away from the show a bit in my eyes. Oh, Josh, I'm a bit sad about that because I thought actually the commentary, particularly Shivani in that main event, enhanced that match more than anything.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Anthony Pride with a huge $100 donation. Thank you so, so much. The reason why you should watch Dark this week is, one, first match was the premiere of Brother Devon's twin son's name, TNT. Second match, newly signed the acclaimed former WWE prospect Anthony Bowen and Max Caster. Their future feud, third match, Top Flight, is worth a watch. I mean, yeah, it's also 2 hours long. And I watched more than enough wrestling in a week.
I think Anthony Pride's $100. We should watch Dark.
Yeah.
Maybe. We should watch this week's Dark.
Dried chicken without flavor. I was a little disappointed the fact that Ali didn't have any blood on her outfit. Blood Bunny would have been a gold mine for her next t-shirt merch.
Cool name.
Abortion Reborn, the F Hangman segment on BTE was liquid jam. I've not watched BTE.
Oh, it's so funny. Paige is just walking around backstage and everyone's celebrating, like Omega and the Bucks. They're going crazy. And he's like, Paige just walks away sad. And he walks into the bar where all the Dark Order, led by John Silver, not Brody Lee, are just being like, F Paige, F Hangman, F. I think it's F Hangman. And Paige looks at them and then joins in with them. Like, it's funny, but it's so sad at the same time.
Oh, that's heartbreaking. Yeah. Christopher Jazzcat, the Bunkhouse Brawl got the Butcher over to me. He'd have been great in ECW.
Jazzcat, why wasn't the Butcher over with you already?
look at his tash.
We're disagreeing really? So much, Jazzcat. Did you like this Pentagon match?
Amro, the small lone thing was a Donald Trump reference. It was indeed, yes. Nate Drop Surname, Butcher, Blade and Bunny looked awesome in their new presentation on the entrance. Really fun show all around. Luke, looks like you need a table mate. I can get rowdy with the best of them. Jam that jam. Nate, I've got you on speed dial, my friend. There's a few people that I'm in touch with. I'll be putting together my team very shortly.
How did you get table mate from teammate?
What did I say?
You said table mate.
Sorry, I'm a published author. Dry chicken without flavor. Hopefully the Inner Circle's trip to Las Vegas is a sign for AEW's return of the Road to Double or Nothing 3 next year.
Or maybe the casino gambling app they are launching.
I mean, they bloody love casinos, don't they? I think Cody he likes to gamble, I guess. I guess it's his thing. Christopher Jazzcap, it sucks that they didn't sell it more this week, but I loved the Elite Deletion match. It was so refreshing to see Hardy winking at the audience. Love the cameos. It looked as stiff as a horse in places. I'm glad Sammy's not dead. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, Jazzcat.
I agree that it should have been, whatever your opinion on it, it should have been sold more.
Black Adam. I still don't get Darby Allin. He spends too much time brooding and looking mysterious for someone who gets his ass kicked every week. But I loved his tactics this week. Mm. His defense was his offense. I loved it. A smart baby face.
Yeah, I know what you mean with Darby, because I run hot and cold on him as well. Like, sometimes he is too emo, but the important thing to know is that you can't like everyone. And he obviously does really appeal to a certain portion of the audience. So, yeah, it's like Jeff Hardy. I don't get the appeal of Jeff Hardy, but I do recognize people love him. So he should always be sort of pushed if you can. Wrestling miscellaneous. Raja Kola. Hey guys, has there been some rumors that Drew McIntyre could possibly join the Firefly Funhouse with The Fiend? Do you guys think Drew McIntyre is going to join The Fiend and The Funhouse? Not at all, no. I don't think so.
Not at all. I think it's because Mercy was behind him. Mm. I think that's just more because they're sort of like, they're all feuding for the title at the moment.
Chris Patrol, Mr. Davis, is Mabel the third man, or could it be Antonio Inoki? Winky face emoji. Go and watch last night's Quizzlemania for why that's hilarious. Raja Kola again. Hey, Luke and Ollie, say what's up.
What's up?
What's up?
Raymond Jacobs, the reigning, defendant, undisputed jam that champion, heavyweight champion of the world, Luke Owen. Yes, please.
The most important title in all of sports infotainment. The only title that matters in sports infotainment that I proudly carry on my shoulder for all of you to see. This title matters to me.
Dried chicken without flavor, barbecue. Dried chicken without flavor, BBQ, chicken nugget, barbecue, chicken nugget, team lukewarm all day.
Oh,
there's
that's
only one
right.
person on him.
He's got friends. Get rowdy in the chat. Give me a yes, please.
JobberJJ496. I always knew Mr. Davis had a role for me. Get hyped for the All Authority and buy a t-shirt. The All Authority is going to Vegas. First class. Hype man.
Literally none of you are going to Vegas at the moment. Absolutely. We're certainly not getting there.
Buy a t-shirt. I will literally buy you a ticket to Las Vegas.
Maybe big claims maybe. There from Mr. Davis.
Disclaimer, Mr. Davis will not buy you a ticket to Las Vegas. Charlie Davis. Kenny said in his promo that he was feeling nostalgic. He said the same thing in his promo when he got back together with Ibushi. Now he's nostalgic for when he was at his most ruthless.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. He is winning the title.
And Christopher Jazzcat, again, finally. I was wondering if you were going to sell for me this week, Ollie. Winky, well, like this face. Yeah, I always love to see Penta and Phoenix in the ring together. You just think that Omega and Pentagon don't have any chemistry. Well, thank you very much for everyone joining today's stream and for all your very generous donations, particularly another shout out to Gabriel Caruso and Anthony Pride. That's overwhelmingly lovely of you. And what an episode of AEW Dynamite.
I only got to tune in for a little bit of Quizzlemania last night. Just before we settled down to go to sleep, we'd read for a bit, and then we looked at like house stuff, looked at sort of, you know, potential ideas. We were gramming it and sort of like looking at Instagram inspiration and the like. And then my wife was just scrolling. She was like, "If you want to watch Quizzlemania, you can do so for like 10 minutes before we go to bed." And I was like, "Yes, brilliant." And I tuned in just to see Sean and Tempest do their G1 Climax winners reverse chronological order.
Amazing stuff. I should have just said I can't even say his name. Antonio Inoki. I can't say the surname isolated. Inoki, there we go. Antonio Inoki. I should have just said that in 2016.
Yeah, it may as well have been. God, this name came up a lot. It was quite the run. An incredible run of form.
If you thought the G1 winners from the last 15 years weren't that, you know, diverse in terms of who won them. Oh, you better go back to the 80s and the 70s. Because Inoki won that damn thing every year apart from one.
Yeah, that's good. If it wasn't Andre or Hogan, then it was Inoki. Or his tag team partner.
And people look back at those days and go, man, that's how to do wrestling. And then they do it with John Cena and I'm like, nah. nah, doesn't work these days. Make up your mind. Did you see what Jim Cornette has been saying?
I have not. No, what's Jim Cornette on about now?
Oh my God, he's broken. He's broken. Because if there's one thing I could admire about Jim Cornette's rants, is at least they were consistent. You know I love consistency. Always had the same argument, which was wrestling, people need to believe in wrestling. Don't expose the business with your flips and your no-sells. He said, like, and he's on his podcast, in some fantasy booking way to redo the FTR Young Bucks match, which I'm pretty sure was okay by itself. Mm-hmm. It was the build that was problematic. Cornette said, no, the way you want to do it is FTR sandbag everything the Bucks do for about 10 minutes. And the Bucks start to get frustrated. And FTR just beat them legit because they're real wrestlers.
What?
Yeah. And then the internet would all go, oh my God, I can't believe FTR went into business by them for themselves.
But isn't that then exposing the business?
I know. He's become Vince Russo. He's become what he hates.
He's lived long enough to see himself become the Russo.
Jim.
Unbelievable. Jim, mate. Have a word. I've actually just had a little message from you saying that you're running late for the podcast. Mm. So notifications on Discord working well, it would seem.
Nice one.
Hey, speaking of sort of going back to the past, I've got two things that I'd like to go back to the past with you. And here's the first one. And I can see you there frantically Googling for your new segment.
I didn't just remember that.
Guess what I had for lunch today?
Ooh. Well, if it's lukewarm Luke Owen, I know. It's going to be a bagel.
That's breakfast, mate.
Breakfast bagel. Okay, back in the past, I'm thinking shared lunches that me and you used to have. Horrible chicken wraps with chips.
See, you want to go slightly more new than that, but you're kind of in the right area, though.
Halloumi wrap from the van.
That is pretty much what I had, because my wife's work today organized a team lunch. And then my wife sort of popped her head through the door and was like, hey, I've also been sent for this team lunch a Deliveroo voucher. So do you want to just get food with me? We'll have it delivered to the house. What a fantastic little service they run, Deliveroo.
What, so, from the blue van in Hackney? Well, They're not on Deliveroo. They should be.
They should be, though. I'd be ordering from them every day otherwise. But yeah, I had a halloumi and falafel hummus wrap. And I had it with sriracha and chili sauce and tahini and cucumbers and lettuce. And it was brilliant. It proper took me back. Oh, it was excellent.
Well, I think I know one thing you didn't have on that. And that is everyone's new favorite segment. It's all the different kinds of jam or fruit preserves, as the Wikipedia article has. We've already had... Oh.
Sorry, I just want to give you a quick update. Yet we've had zero emails about this segment, so it can continue, because as soon as it gets over, that is when Ollie Davis will start to cancel it.
Yeah, like the spoons. So we've already had cheong, folks. Korean cuisine jam can be used as a condiment on the side. Plum syrup, also known as masao cheong. Now we have the next kind of jam or fruit preserve. Chutney. Everyone loves chutney.
Oh, I love a chutney. My mum makes amazing chutneys.
A chutney is a relish of Indian origin made of fruit, spices, and herbs. Although originally intended to be eaten soon after preparation, modern chutneys are often made to be sold, so require preservatives, often sugar and vinegar, to ensure they have a suitable shelf life. Mango chutney, for example, is mangoes reduced with sugar.
Oh, and it's beautiful. I love a mango chutney. But yeah, my mum, that's her Christmas thing, is that she makes a ton of different kinds of chutneys. And she's brilliant at them. Absolutely amazing. We just got, like, me and my brother will go home from Christmas, and my mum, with just jars upon jars of chutneys that just sit in the fridge. And I've got loads of them. I've got some that I got from Christmas 2 years ago that are still good.
That doesn't sound like you like the chutneys. They're so good, we haven't eaten them for 2 years.
Well, that's because A, it's a massive jar. B, my wife doesn't like chutneys, so I have to have them on my own. And we very rarely eat anything separate from each other. In fact, I would say we never eat anything separate. Even today, when my wife had a team lunch that we weren't together, we still ate the same thing.
Yeah, but you can, it's a condiment, essentially. That's you have it on the thing, side with something. Every time you have an Indian.
Yeah, but I will. Well,
every time you have a roast.
And I've got lime pickles for if you have an Indian as well.
You're a madman. So what this is telling me, and this is interesting, we're going to get a lot of emails about this.
Oh,
chutney was not originally a fruit preserve until mass production. I don't know. I'm inferring this from the description because it said, although it was originally intended to be eaten like right away, it was only when modern chutneys came in that required preservatives, which, if I'm not mistaken, now makes the fruit preserve, aka a jam.
Well, just before we get out of here, I'm putting out a plea to you, the Podswaft listeners, my Podswafters, my Afterswafters. Ollie Davis is trying not to laugh as he's just finished up his new excellent segment.
Trying to sync this podcast.
An orange segment, if you will. I'm putting a call out for iTunes reviews, people, or Apple Podcasts, as it's now been rebranded and probably has been for the last couple of years. everyone still calls it iTunes. Because do you know when the last time we had a review on the podcast was?
Oh, well, we just stopped pushing them, didn't we? We used to read them all out a year ago.
Okay, so it was the 27th of August, 2019.
Yeah, so a year ago, probably around the same time we stopped telling people to write reviews, which is the single biggest driver to discover new listeners. Well, we've got a lot of jam to spread. Spread the good word of jam.
Exactly. Spread that jam out. Tell your friends. Tell your reviews. Leave a review up on iTunes. We will read them out on this podcast. The best review is going to win a prize. That is to be determined.
Oh, no, you announced it. Oh, God. We don't know what it is yet.
I will work that out eventually. We can work that out months from now. But anyway, there will be something. Maybe it'll just be an email. Maybe we'll do like a little video message for you. Will get something from us. Don't give us a one-star review. Don't be a dick. Leave us a five-star review. Tell your mates about this podcast. Get them all on board with the jam. Look at this great extra content we're giving you. But I'll be back tomorrow with Denise Salcedo, Hollywood Denise Salcedo, team last place for the magazine show. We can talk about her Quizzlemania performance or lack thereof. And then Randy and Pete will be back doing the SmackDown review, which we found out is the most consistent podcast that we have on our network. It's the most listened to thing that's out there. It even beats a podcast that me and Ollie do. Thank you all so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.